Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Seen porn before? Ben McGugan, our guest for this episode of The Worst Idea of All Time.
This is, as I say, first time hearing about it. Didn't know you could do this. I can't believe it. It's incredible. And I love boobs and bums.
Naked woman.
And you can just do that and then anyone can watch it? Amazing.
Yeah, you can do anything these days, man. It's a post 9/11 world that we're in the Emmanuel franchise. And technology has afforded us the ability to record things in high definition, but then we will watch them at a degraded quality.
Yeah.
It's also, in the world of the podcast, we're also in a post 9/11 world.
That's also true. We're in an Olympic era in this year, 2021. Well,
the Olympics actually, Tim, technically predate 9/11.
That's a point. I mean, these 2020 Olympics, which are occurring now in July of 2021, or August when this comes out, actually.
Imagine being the first Olympics back after 9/11. Rough.
It'd be tough, eh? Imagine being the first Olympics back after World War II.
Yeah, jeepers.
Yikes. God zooks.
Yeah. Sending all our, you know, support out to Olympics that had to follow significant gut-wrenching world events.
Today we watched Emmanuel and the Sexual Spells. Sexual was definitely in the title.
It's Emmanuel and a variety of words. No, and just sort of spells them by going,
scrub through this. Sexual is in the title somewhere. The other
sexual
bits are not.
Sexual spells. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. We got it. We'll lock it in.
Yeah.
Emmanuel and the Sexual Spells.
When you hear sexual spells, what do you think, Ben? Do you think a woman who spells words sexily, or do you think about, like, witches?
I thought it was going to be witches. And when I first saw Emmanuel, the Emmanuel for this film, I thought it was spells because I thought she was in some kind of mystical trance. But that's not the case. She's just
how,
like,
she talks.
She's just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how women be.
Women be shopping.
We know how the specific woman be, and that is...
Yeah. Lost.
Confused, yeah. And confusing.
Yeah.
And also dozing, coming in and out of naps. She's spending a lot of time horizontal by herself.
She's in bed so much.
Having voyeuristic sex dreams. Occasionally, she visits a high-end author.
Emmanuel has now been topless for so much time on screen that it's like there's nothing sexual about it to me anymore.
No.
There's a supply and demand curve. I've long maintained this. The reason why our society treats breasts in the way that it does is because we hide them away.
Mm.
It's a weird forced sexualization thing. I don't know. Seems like it's related to the church, et cetera, fill in your own blanks.
I'm trying to do my bit by sexualizing my own nipples.
Yeah, good on you, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to sexualize my clothes.
It's not
freak everybody out.
It's not free the nipple. It's like imprison all nipples.
Yeah. Or be, you know, be attracted to my nipples.
Yes.
I've got little tiny little pink dots.
Itty bitty nippies.
Yeah.
I got itty bitty nippies too. How your nipples, Ben?
You got tiny little nipples.
Mine are perfect, pert, and powerful.
Hell,
triple three P's. He's got plosive nipples.
Mine's actually kind of, one of them, it looks like I've had that nipple pierced, but I never did.
I liked the fantasy better.
Sorry.
Oh,
I like the,
man.
The grim reality of your nipples.
I'm not walking back the three P's. They are that as well.
They are powerful.
But it's just, I wanted to introduce
powerful,
you to
powerful, pierced.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Perfect. In every way. Perfection can look like anything, not unlike a family.
Tell you what. This movie and this franchise took a real turn. It's getting more explicit and more sexually intense in a move that heretofore will be referred to as the Ben McGugan turn in the Emmanuel franchise, which is when things started getting super racy.
You guys had some softcore pornography and you knew what was on the horizon. It was some dirty, dirty smut. So you called in a real pervert.
Yeah, we needed.
And here I am.
A real pervert.
We didn't actually say in the first episode, we did have a dial a pervert clause in this season of the podcast.
Here I am. As Mary Poppins in my way into your podcast.
You were super late because you had to knock on all the doors around the neighborhood to tell them there was a pervert on the street.
Ben McGugan, qualified pervert.
Hi.
So glad you could make it for this viewing.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm extremely horny all of the time.
I think this is our 33rd Emmanuel. Have you seen an Emmanuel movie before?
This is my first. As I say, it's my first film.
It's incredible that you've managed to develop such a reputation as a pervert for a man who didn't know porn existed until an hour and a half ago.
What I'd do is I'd go down to the beach and just sort of etch breasts into the sand.
Very analog way of doing
it. Yeah.
Just hashtag look up and hashtag itch breasts into the sand.
Hashtag look up, hashtag walk to the beach, hashtag look down.
Hashtag find a stick. Hashtag draw some breasts in that sand. What did you think of the film as a movie, as a piece of cinema?
Bad.
Why do you say that?
It was...
Why do you say that, you negative Nally?
Well, it was just boring, I guess. It was like...
So what, that meant nothing to you? All that stuff we just did, all those riffs we had, that was all nothing to you?
I mean, there was some fun to be had, that's for sure. But a lot of it, man, it was just kind of gross and weird.
What about the part of the movie when you said, did they ever do guy-on-guy stuff? And then we said no, and then there was a woman fucking a snake. What about that, Ben? Is that boring to you as well in your sick, demented world?
Let me tell you, as a real pervert, that really spoke to me when they brought the snake in. You were like, no guy on guy, because that would be gay. But they've got snake on woman. That's for damn sure.
Nothing wrong with a bit of snake on woman.
Snake on woman.
The kind of sexual rules, or the rules of erotica and what is considered erotic in these films is so... odd.
This film was particularly interesting as a case study because they introduced an author character who was an erotica writer, a modern day Jilly Cooper. You guys remember who Jilly Cooper is?
No.
I can't say I do.
I feel like she was always on bookshelves in my childhood and at family friends' house. She's some British woman who wrote
smut?
It's like sort of, you know.
Like
I think
Marion
it's
maybe Keys
British classy
smut.
As a pervert, not as, I should not know as, about this, obviously.
But yeah, there's an author, and he writes erotica, and you'd think he'd probably take some creative liberties and make up some of the stories in his books. But one of the first quotes of the movie is, he says, I base all of my stories on real situations. That way I can remain totally objective. And he's renowned about the town for being a very kinky, sort of a funky, kinky author.
Oh, no.
Their words, not his.
Yeah,
that's
funky,
in the movie.
Funky, kinky.
His assistant describes
funky,
him as
funky, kinky.
Funky, very... kinky.
Yeah.
Baby.
What do you think is funky, kinky, Tim?
I think it's when you go to a jazz club, walk into a 5-4 rhythm, and you just got to take your pants off to that.
Wow. What do you think Funky Kinky is, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, when I jump in on a jazz line, but all the only instrument I've got is my cock.
Yeah.
You know, do I jump in here? But just free for me.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's Funky Kinky. What does Funky Kinky mean to you, Guy Montgomery?
Funky Kinky is when you go down to the rock shop and look for their biggest tuba, and you just put your tiny little cold, flaccid penis in the end of the tuba, and you take it up to the front desk, and you say, there's something wrong with this tuba. But there's nothing wrong with a tuba.
It's just got your
tiny little penis in it. So I guess Funky Kinky is different things to different people. But in the world of the movie, it sort of suggests that he writes like really sexy and racy sex scenes.
He's all, very good at it, too.
All true, by the way. All real, because it has to be real so he can remain objective.
It's got to be real.
Yeah. Love that he says, I've got to be objective. But he's clearly inserting his own fantasies on this the whole time. Because I don't know if we're recapping the plot. We can recap the plot in like
Ben,
30 seconds.
I would love for you to do that right now.
Okay, so author character, he's friends with Emmanuel, who tells him all her sexapades. And that's where he gets his stories from some of the time. And he's also got an assistant who's going on her own sexcapades, and he's getting some stories from her. He's got feelings for her. He gets weird and possessive and punches the guy she's seeing.
She sort of pursues a life as an escort. Did you cover that?
Yeah, I guess that's part of it.
She's slightly underpaid in her role as a personal assistant to the author man. And so she goes looking for some additional work and finds it in the form of a non-sex, no-contact escort for a wealthy man called Nicholas, who is from parts unknown but has inherited a pretty dope accent and some pretty killer facial hair.
Yeah, here's a guy who was very excited at the opportunity to play rich, an actor who is sort of making a lot of bold decisions and executing one in every two of those decisions.
he's like, I need an accent. So it's sort of, he's clearly American, but he's kind of talking like this the whole time.
Old chap.
I'm such a cad.
Oh, I'm such a lovable rogue.
I feel like he thought he needed to have an accent, but it didn't have to be one accent. Yes. He just had to perform every line in an accent. Yeah.
Just go for it. Just be rich.
And yeah, so he seems like he might actually be okay. He might be a nice guy, but it turns out he's a bit of a prick.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, he is.
Because he goes on these non-sexual dates with the writer's assistant. It's stipulated very clearly in the advertorial in the newspaper that there's no sex. And they go out for a meal. And it's...
That's fine.
That's fine.
She gets paid a lot of money.
And then next time they meet up, they go to a sex party. Just watching.
No touching.
And that's slightly more challenging and questionable, but fine-ish. And then she goes around.
It crosses the line, actually.
Then she goes around to his house and they look at some people having sex through a telescope. And that is too much to bear. They, too, then have to have sex. And as soon as they have sex, he just sends her a letter with a lot of cash saying, see ya. And this bothers our writer no end.
Yeah, because apparently she's fallen in love with Nicholas, the John. But, she didn't.
They have one scene together, I'm pretty sure.
They fucked and then it was fine. And then she happened to get a whole bunch of money as a result of that. She did get upset, though, so, you know.
I guess.
I mean,
it's just hard to see what went wrong.
Yeah.
He was an arsehole, but it feels like this is perfect. She got to have sex with him, she got a bunch of money, and then the relationship ended, so she didn't have to like be in it anymore.
Didn't end on her terms, so, you know.
I guess that's true. But you can't have it all.
Well, no, but, you know, Nicholas is the bad guy here.
There's no good guy here.
Yeah, who's the good guy? Point to the good guy in this story.
What was the woman's name?
Jennifer. Were you fucking watching, bruh? They said it so many times.
Jennifer's innocent. She's very innocent. They kept saying, she's so innocent, and that's what makes her so delicious. must have her.
It's true. The men were lusting after her innocence.
Yeah. And Nicholas frequently trips over himself and says out loud when he's seducing her that like it's his intention to have sex with her eventually, but it's like,
I'm going to break you down, my dear.
Oops, step by step.
Step by step.
Oh, my. That was an inside thought, but I said it in the outside voice.
Whoopsie.
Whoopsie daisy.
Ignore me, I'm such a cat.
I'm such a funky, kinky man. I say anything that comes into my head. Here's one. A frog with three legs. Very sexual.
Oh, that's right. Nicholas, the very wealthy and kinky man, made his fortune by bottling and selling and drinking his own piss.
Now, hold on. Hang on. We know that, actually, we know that he works in the energy sector.
Yeah.
Because of an introduction at a dinner party. Yeah. However.
Did they say sector?
They might have said industry or something.
Sector.
Because when
better.
We first meet him, he goes, I work in business.
Let's just say I work in business.
And that's so much mystery to Shrouded in if he just works in the energy business.
You're an oil man, bruh.
Okay, cool.
Be proud of what you do.
Human traffic mean anything to you?
He's an oil man. He's an oil baron. He's baron and he loves oil. And he made all his money doing that. And then he started bottling and selling human urine, which appears so many times in this film. It's all these people, different people in different places, drinking out of different glasses, but all the same liquid. The unmistakable yellow of piss. Yeah.
And there are,
human piss.
There are a lot of side scenes where he would be explaining to his business associates. He said, it just makes financial sense. The margins don't lie. There are heaps of scenes with him
people
saying the margins don't lie.
One man's waste is another man's bottleable, sellable, marketable wine.
Yeah.
It's unmistakably piss.
I drink my own piss and then I piss it out. There's no overheads on this.
It's pure profit, my dear.
You got to buy what? One, two bottles?
What happens if you drank your own piss? You can do it one round.
I think it's all good.
As long as it's fresh.
You can do it for golden. One round, apparently, but if you do it for like more than one round, you get into trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Well, I assume the toxins build up so much because if you think about it, your piss is the stuff that your body's trying to get rid of, right?
Yeah.
So like if you just bioaccumulate all the stuff it's trying to expel, that's probably, you're probably getting a every time you do a round, it's like a more concentrated poison bullet.
Or you become stronger.
Well, maybe.
If you turn the stuff that you expel into fuel.
Do you remember that Nathan For You episode where he's talking to that shopkeep who drinks his granddaughter's piss? Because it's like he believes that it'll make him like strong or youthful or something. So I don't know.
It's really scared, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a beautiful, skirting of the line between setting up a comedy premise but then tripping over comedy in real life and just pursuing that.
Yeah.
You couldn't script that guy.
No.
It's insane. I'll tell you what, though, this movie, Emmanuel and the Sexual Spells, it really did function as a porno a lot better than some of the other flicks we've seen in this part of the franchise. Yeah, you could masturbate to this movie for sure.
It's not untrue because I remember the last movie we watched with Liv McKenzie, you said, I don't know where you're supposed to masturbate to this. That's
too
what you
horses,
said.
Too many cutaways to horses.
The sex scenes were extended.
Yes.
You could definitely, especially, towards the start, there were some really long ones, the one with the guy and the girl, and she's sort of out the door, the car door.
They're in a car.
And they're in a car. She's out the car door, and then he's going to see it through the sunroof.
Yeah.
It's such a brilliant way to show both the actors in this scene.
It's also a very interesting way to have sex, because for the guy, he's just looking at nature. You're not having sex with a person at that point.
It's like if you've ever gone tramping or something, or maybe skiing or something, and you have those toilets that just look, they've got a view that's just majestic, and you're not looking at where you're pissing. You're just looking, you're pissing into a toilet, but you're looking out at this majestic view. It's like that, but
he's
for sex.
Sort of got a whole man glory hole situation where he puts his head through, and that could be anyone down there.
It's bloody genius. There's never been a better use of a skylight in a car. Wait, what are they called?
Skylights.
Yeah, you got it.
Is that what they're called in cars?
Yeah. Skylight, sky bright.
I don't know anything anymore. Okay. It's thrown everything out.
They're called skylights. Sunroof?
No. Sunroof. Yeah. Skylights are in houses. It's a sunroof.
What is a car but a little mobile house?
Exactly.
Yep, you got me there. Damn right.
Yeah.
I don't think I could jerk off to this film, though.
You don't think you could?
No, it's weird.
You can jerk off to anything. Could you jerk off to completion to this film?
I've got nipples, Ben. Could you jerk off to me?
They're quite small from memory.
But also,
you got a fucking
sexual
problem with small nipples?
No, not at all. No.
Yeah.
Put me on the spot here. I just found the film kind of gross, I guess.
What was it that made it gross?
You were talking.
What does a softcore porno got to do to gross out a non-pervert?
Well, so like, like in the previous films, you were saying like there was a charmingness to the sex, and there was not really any charm. There was just kind of like the childish dialogue, and then they'd just be fucking, and it was just kind of. Do you know what it's like? It's like when you go to a costume shop. And most of the costumes are for kids, and then there's the adult costumes that are just the nastiest shit. So it's like, right, there's that weird dichotomy, you know? And I just found it all very uncomfortable.
This movie to you is the adult section of costumes.
Yeah, but particularly like the having the kid costumes be neighbors with the, like, here's, you know, Superman for 8-year-olds, and here's Superman with his big kryptonite cock. You know, like, it was just weird.
I think I understand. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I do, yeah. It's an interesting, like, emotional metaphor for it, but I think I dig what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, tell me if this is sort of close to what you're saying.
Go.
Everyone in this movie, and this actually it happens quite often in the Emmanuel movies, is so moronic that you're like, oh, I feel weird about seeing you guys having sex because it's almost like there's questions about your own agency and ability to make adult decisions about... fucking in public, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone can fuck. Everyone should, be able to have a good time having sex. But it's kind of like there's sort of these situations they get themselves into it, and you're like, it feels like you might be being manipulated because you're such a moron. And because the power dynamic is so unbalanced because of your idiocy, it's hard to whack off to.
It's weird because, like, you watch that moron with his head through the sunroof, and I'm like, did you put that handbrake on, bud? Because you're going to go correct.
You're so dumb. You couldn't mess with it because you were stressed out.
I was stressed out. Everyone's really dumb.
There's some physics implications as well.
And drinking piss and shit.
Yeah, man. When you're drinking piss, you're like, I need to see smarter people having sex so I can trust that they're all good.
How do you feel about programs like Love Island and Too Hot to Handle?
I don't watch them, Guy.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm too sophisticated for all that kind of...
What are you watching while they're broadcasting Love Island?
I don't know.
The 33rd Emmanuel film.
Yeah, probably. Well, do you watch those shows? I actually think I feel I don't feel the same way because they're all on the same level of idiocy. They're all like clout chasing, gymmed up, sweaty.
Chout Clayson.
Hello, I'm Chout Clayson.
Sounds like a dish.
Yeah. he is a dish.
So that you're okay with that? I mean, I don't.
They're all on the same level.
I don't watch those programs, but it's pretty much what you're describing. Just that they've put themselves forward.
Yeah. They've signed up for that. I don't know. Porn seems exploitative, which is a discussion that is probably unwise to open inside of an entire season of us watching porn.
Sorry to introduce that energy.
You didn't do this, Ben. You know who did? Alan Stravinsky. Is that his name?
Alain Suritsky.
He's the EP of all of these.
Got his fingers in all of these Emmanuel pies.
Jesus Christ. Hey, he's got a credit on the first one, even, right? Like, he produced the very first one.
And he's got a name as old as time itself.
He is
70s.
He is the Albert Broccoli of this franchise.
What does that mean?
Albert Broccoli was the guy who started the Bond movies.
Oh.
But then he died. But then his daughter took them over. Barbara Broccoli.
Barbara Broccoli.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Amazing.
Yeah. So he's like the one consistent thread through all of these movies.
Okay, so he's to blame.
He's to acknowledge and thank.
And appreciate.
And appreciate.
Yeah, thank you for these gifts.
If you meet Alain Suritsky, you do not look him in the eye, but you do say thank you.
I wonder if he's alive. Can you Google him?
With pleasure.
Oh, or I can Google him. I just wanted to bring up how the soundtrack was actually... It was hits and misses today. Some of them I love. The last one we watched, the one with Liv, was awful. I didn't like that soundtrack at all.
Same musician.
Raw.
Raw's done all that. Well, I think they shoot these in blocks of seven.
Mm.
Like at the Emmanuel and Spaces, I think they shot all at once. They did seven films. I think this one with the current woman, there's seven of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're called... fuck.
Alain Suritsky was a French-American film producer and film distributor in softcore pornography, foremost known as the owner of the Emmanuel franchise from the 80s to 2010s.
Oh, he didn't do all of that.
Born 1942.
And died?
2014.
R.I.P.
I reckon you kind of know what he looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to see a picture of him.
You sure?
He's in my head. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that at all.
Yeah. You've got the guy.
I've got the guy. Well, he probably died doing what he loved. Producing softcore pornography for the masses.
Cutting corners.
you enjoyed the soundtrack, though, eh, Ben?
Oh, the soundtrack rips. Raw really fucking nailed that. Raw was all over this. That, I mean, that guitar came in the second to last track. Just... fucking rips, dude. Is it on Spotify? Shit.
I wonder if it is. How do you search Raw, though? You know, like, it's a name that's so hard to...
Yeah.
To search.
The SEO on that's not so hot.
Yeah, exactly. It's difficult. It's very difficult.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What do you make of the picture, guy? You've seen a few Emmanuels in your time.
Yeah, I have actually, more than I care to. Can I actually...
Been around the block?
Before I answer that, I just want to say, did you see any Sky One pornography? Or was that before your time?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think
first
so.
First blush with pornography for a lot of men of our vintage. That's me and Tim, because you're a little younger than us.
I think a bit.
Ben grew up in the sticks. They didn't have Sky One there.
Yeah, we didn't have Sky. Oh.
What was your first blush with porn? Oh, it was today.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't, really hypothetically.
Hypothetically, let's say I found a pornography magazine.
Classic.
That my friend's dad owned.
Yeah.
And then secreted into my pants and ran away.
An icon of Westport. I thought the movie was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was more of a fun watch. Like, it was nice having this author character in there. He was a bit of a fucking meathead, but like, I felt like it kept coming back to him and he kind of kept things moving along at a reasonable clip. Mm-hmm. More nudity than I'm used to, which I'm still finding a bit confronting, even though we are watching a lot of porn. It definitely sags and drags. Emmanuel just lies in bed
it
and has
and fucks.
Fantasies.
It sags and drags.
Yeah, it's cocks and socks. It's got it all. There were some woodland nymphs in this one. One of them, Emmanuel's got multiple nymphs, but one of them is a redheaded nymph who emerges from the forest, which is like a fancy version of the woods. And she's like watches over Emmanuel. But then it turns out she also watches over the writer's assistant, Jennifer. And Jennifer can't see her though. But she sort of has the same qualities as a hormone monster in the Big Mouth franchise, where it's like she's responsible for the sex and sexuality of multiple characters in the same universe.
Mm. Do you reckon they stole it from... Do you reckon Nick Kroll stole it from Emmanuel?
He probably watched some of the Emmanuel franchise.
They kind of... Era works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of how old he is and when these were made.
It's not totally impossible.
He is a known thief and plagiarizer.
Is he?
Yep.
What did he plagiarize to?
A lot of my work.
Yeah. You had an idea for a cartoon about...
Yeah, it was called The Nick Kroll Show. It's a concept I came up with. where I would do a series of skits and impressions and sort of just funny ideas.
And you'd host it as an American sketch actor called Nick Kroll.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, and so I was in development for this for 2 years and just about to get it across the line with an unnamed network for reasons I can't get into right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's then, say if you're looking for a center of comedy... You're getting close.
Well, perhaps, perhaps. But unfortunately, that dastardly plagiarizer Nick Kroll crept it. I don't know how he got my idea and my scripts and my format and the idea to call it the Nick Kroll Show, but he fucking did it.
Yeah. Sly devil.
And then, obviously, there was the TV show you're writing set in a US high school based on his childhood, about like going to sort of middle school and whatnot and going through puberty. And he fucking...
Yeah, I called it Little Dick, though. He did change the title, but he took everything out.
Well, yeah, you called it Big Mouth, colon, Little Dick.
No, I called it Little Dick. He changed it to Big Mouth to try and, like, convince people he hadn't stole it. But that's so if you wild. Get past the title, it's the exact same show that I wrote.
I wrote a screenplay called Pig Mouth, which was about a man who had a pig for a mouth. A whole pig.
Not just a pig's mouth, but for a mouth.
Yeah. So he had to feed this pig and sort of human centipede it into his sort of digestive system. And I sat next to Nick Kroll on a plane for about 3 hours detailing all of the ins and outs. And he's like, I like the title. And I was like, I bet you do.
Shit. So he's shed now on both of us.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Nick Kroll once gave me $500,000.
Yeah? Why did he do that?
He just dropped it, and I picked it up and said, I think you dropped this, and he said, it's yours now.
Was it in, like, how do you mean he dropped it? There's so much money.
Yeah, he's got big hands.
Was it a check, or was it in cash, or what?
It was cash.
And was it a...
It was in ones.
It was in ones. This story sounds incredible in the very literal sense that it does not sound credible.
Yeah.
I believe you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, as well you might.
It must have weighed a ton.
Well, yeah.
Metric ton.
At least.
$500,000 in ones. Yeah. I'm going to look
this up. How much does a $1 note weigh?
Let's find
out.
Like
I said, he's got big hands.
Huge hands on Nick
Not
Kroll.
Quite big enough.
How much does an American $1 bill weigh?
There's no room on the armrest.
According to Quora, each $1 Quora. US dollar note weighs approximately 1 gram, as well as...
Thank you. I love that metric... Answer
500,000 grams.
So what do? We take 2 zeros off or 3 zeros off? 3 zeros off, I think, to get to kgs. 500 kg, half a ton.
Yeah,
half a metric ton. You just he just dropped.
Yeah,
in once.
Yeah,
and you just picked up.
Yeah,
and you said, "Hey, Nick Kroll, I think you dropped this half ton of ones."
I think I surprised myself. And he said, "Yeah, it's yours now."
You're full of shit, man.
I'm not. He had a script poking out the back of his pocket, and he'd crossed out the name Tim Batt, and you could see in his handwriting, his distinct handwriting, it said Nick Kroll.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's a bloody outrage.
It checks out from what we know of Nick Kroll.
This is why I should have joined the Screen Actors Guild. I'd be protected against things like this.
He said to me when he was leaving, he said, I got a plane to catch. I'm flying next to a guy called Ben McGugan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
It checks out.
Hey, now, Ben... I think you've listened to a couple episodes of Worst Idea of this season.
So I have.
You might be familiar. We have some rather unruly...
Boner Inspector!
Boner Inspector? I've got to give you a bit of a like podcast 101 on how this equipment works, okay? You've got quite a naturally loud, well-projected voice. And so when you first enter and... You sort of announce yourself at a high volume. I simply must insist that you don't do that directly into the microphone.
That scared the shit out of me, man.
It doesn't sound good. It's not good for the equipment. And to be frank with you, it makes me fucking furious.
It's a pleasure to
because you've been
you.
On the show a lot, and I kind of thought you would have figured this out by now.
Boner Inspector.
It's nice to see you. How are you? Can I get you a cup of tea?
Yes, please. I'm pretty good.
What do you want? Herbal or do you want just gumboot?
Got anything that makes you horny?
Actually, I do.
Really?
Licorice leaf.
Oh. Mm.
Delicious.
Oh, sorry. You said horny, right?
Mm.
No, this will make you shit.
Oh.
It's the wrong one.
You cad.
There's a Venn diagram there.
There is a little.
Of still, horny and shit.
Do you want it?
Yes, please.
I'll get licorice.
Well, yes, Ben, I roam from town to town, house to house, pretty much anywhere someone's watching porn.
Uh-huh.
I'm checking in on him. And I understand that you might have just watched Emmanuel's sexcapades, sexual spells, full of tits and ass. And, well, oh, he's got the tea on.
Tea.
Yeah. Gee whiz, that's a loud kettle.
It's very efficient. It's electric.
And you might have even seen the occasional fanny, or sock as we call it, and balls.
Yeah, there was, is that, yeah, there was balls.
Can't wait to hear that water being poured into a mug. And I wouldn't mind if you could stir in some honey.
Mm.
All in your own time.
You guys can keep talking. Oh, sorry, were you in the middle of a chat or something?
Yeah, yeah, I'm just sorry, it's just very distracting.
There was balls.
Why are you not pouring the water into the cup?
I'm making the tea as fast as I can, my man.
Very well, yeah, balls.
I'll go get some milk.
Anyway. Did you get a boner?
No, I can't say. I think I might think about this film if I don't want a boner.
Wow.
Like if I'm at a funeral.
Aggressively
or something.
Unerotic.
Yeah. For all the time I get boners at funerals, you know.
Which is?
Every time. I mean, funerals can be sexy.
I got to follow you around. What, are you some sort of pervert or something?
Yeah, hi, nice to meet you. I'm my name's Ben McGugan. I'm a huge, horny pervert.
God damn, I like this guy.
Yeah. So I'm chubbed up most of the time. I'm half-mast, ready
just
to go.
Walking around.
Just walking around. Like I say, at a funeral.
Wow. Mm. How does that go at funerals? I imagine... Oh,
funerals can be sexy.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
People deal with grief differently.
Yeah. Hi, worst idea of all time, listeners. I'm Ben McGugan. Here's my thing. Funerals can be sexy. No, but actually, sorry to interrupt.
Lost a loved one? Feeling bereft of hope? Try finding funerals sexy.
What's stopping you from having a sexy funeral?
Decorum?
Nah, come on.
Sense of decency.
Anyway, Boner Inspector, I don't want to keep you from your work.
No, not at all. What about you, Tim?
Oh, Boner.
Nary a Boner.
Man, I feel like if I was watching this one alone, I probably could have. Jesus, you all right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm experimenting with the microphone.
Good
at your
on
request.
You. Good on you. I probably could have achieved an erection, but in the company that I was keeping, no, it didn't happen for me.
Sorry to hear that, Tim. Anyway. I would like thought you'd get a boner around us.
Maybe one day. We'll see.
Here's hoping. See, God, where's my voice from today?
It's got a real Peter Sellers syndrome going on.
Just got off a transatlantic flight. And what about you, Guy?
No.
This tea is fantastic.
Hey, I think you should leave. I think, it's been lovely to see you, but it's so weird that you brought a brass band in with you this time, Boner Inspector.
Yeah, I'm going to take this tuba back to the shop.
Yeah, cool, man. I'd recommend you take your dick out of it first, though.
That tea has gone.
Bye, Boner. See ya. Bye. Later.
That tea has
gone. Catch you in the next one.
Straight through
me. Hasta luego. What a fucking night. What is this shit? This show's had some real low points in its 7.5-year history.
You should have
but this feels
seen
like
this
plumbing
coming.
The fucking depths.
You get Ben McGugan, the Ben McGugan turns come. It's all about shit and piss and pussy now.
We are at the bottom of the piss filled barrel right now, scraping.
Yeah.
Just scraping.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Shit, that fucking Boner Inspector. I don't want to see that Boner Inspector for a couple episodes.
Me and Boner Inspector are going to hang out later. He's my kind of guy.
I'm still on the fucking stool for getting my facts wrong on Pokemon Yellow. That dude, I feel like he should get about a one at least episode ban.
Wow.
Somebody our call. He kind of just shows up.
Nah, man, we're the hosts. We get to decide.
What is his...
I'm putting my foot down. Boner Inspector's not welcome back. He's got a one episode freeze out on this show.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see if he listens.
Good luck with that.
Guy's got a mind of his own, huh? He's not our only guest.
No, we've got another guest who frequently comes around, Ben McGugan, who you might have heard on some previous episodes. His name's George Lazenby, and he's the world's greatest listener.
Yes, but, talk.
Oh, g'day, George. Didn't see you step in. God, you were quiet coming in today.
Has Phoner Inspector left? Is he?
He's gone. He's gone. Well, okay, gone. Right. I shoot
getting
him
pretty
away.
Crowded in here.
Yeah.
I saw a man shitting himself on the berm outside your house.
That'd be the licorice tea, and yeah. I don't recommend you have any. Though it's such a
shame. He had
shame.
A clipboard and a tuba.
Well, that's the guy I was talking about.
It was a hell of a scene.
When you were last here, who you need to meet.
Oh!
Yeah. He's the guy with the insatiable boner. You've got the insatiable boner. He loves boners.
He'd love to see what I'm packing.
Yeah.
Now, Ben, I am famously a fantastic listener, so is there anything you'd like to say?
Gosh.
Could be anything at all.
It's nice to meet you, George.
Likewise.
Laser beam.
You know, I was a James Bond once.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, everyone's second favorite Bond.
Favorite Bond. Yeah.
After no one.
That's just right. That's what it means to be number one.
Number one. Not sure.
I made one perfect movie and they said, we can't top that.
Just the one?
Yeah.
Ah, which one?
The best one.
The good one?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Everyone really loved that one, and they just stopped making Bond films.
Yeah, Paul Hogan got so jealous, that Crocodile Dundee bitch.
Do you want to get anything off your chest, Ben, while George is here? And if you don't, that's fine. If you feel resolved in yourself, then that's all good.
I mean, I like Sean Connery.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a friend of mine. Sorry, is someone talking about me?
Sean Connery? Hi.
George, old boy, lovely to see you.
Recently deceased and generally considered the world's greatest Bond, Sean Connery is here?
I've never seen that man before in my life.
Sean,
George.
It's so nice to meet you. I'm Tim.
Lovely to be here.
Huge fan. Can I ask you a question? What's the afterlife like?
Pretty tops. Everyone's nude.
Wow, that's incredible.
I've had sex 14 times this morning. That's different time code, you see.
Different time code? Makes sense. I understand. I understand perfectly.
That was the first question I had, was the time code question.
So, George, Sean Connery was an actor, Scottish in origin, who played Bond before you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I loved your work.
Hmm?
The one.
Oh, you saw my Bond, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I saw it. It was lovely.
I've heard it's the best one.
Sure.
Sean, we're discussing a pornographic film today called Emmanuel, The Sexual Spells.
Yes.
Have you seen it, perchance?
Not exactly. I do have a sort of cosmic awareness now that I've passed on, so I do kind of know...
Does a cosmic awareness mean that you know about everything?
Yes.
Sort of a metaphysical oneness, omnipotence of sorts.
So you sort of have access to all information ever accumulated on the periphery, and you can choose to zoom in and use that or not.
100%, and I will say that I've used this extensively on the Emmanuel franchise.
Wow. You know Emmanuel?
In and out.
What's your favourite Emmanuel film?
Sexual Spouse.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, you're
just saying you didn't know a lot about this one.
Hey, George, are you still here? I guess you're the worst.
Yes, I am. I'm just listening.
Yeah, that's classic you. Absolutely classic you.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
No, so, Sean, I don't know if you want to jump in on this one, actually. Usually we ask our guests, so we traditionally go to Ben McGugan, who's a New Zealand comedian, who's joined
nice
us today.
Nice to meet you, Sean. Big fan.
But I don't know if Ben's okay with it. Maybe you want to sort of take the hot seat here. What we like to do, George Lazenby's a bit of a connoisseur.
Yes, I've got a huge sum of money from starring in a James Bond film once.
And he likes to...
Shame!
He likes to hear porn premises and see if he wants to sort of green light a production. So, Sean, would you like to maybe wrap an idea around our minds and see if...
Sean, why don't you wrap an idea around my cock?
Right.
See if you can make it go down.
Right. Lost the accent. Hang on. Tim, can I step out of the fantasy? I'll step back into the fantasy.
Hi, Ben McGugan.
Hi, I feel bad that you don't have a guy. I've come in on this one episode. I've introduced a guy. Do you want to bring someone in on this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, sorry. All right, so... there's a man, you see, and he's sort of statuesque Scottish. Attractive, young, powerful, potent. And he just...
Oh, I like the sound of this.
Oh, who's this?
G'day, lads. It's me, Jason Statham, the future Bond.
Hi, Jason Statham. It's so good to have you here.
Undeniably the future of the Bond franchise.
I wouldn't mind you being a Bond.
This fucking pussy, Daniel Craig's taken the thing to a cratering new low, and it's time to toughen it back up again.
Yes.
Bring it back to the days of muscle men like me and Sean.
Yes.
And me.
Sure.
George Lazenby.
My understanding is you're nothing but a Aussie pretty boy. A bloody washed up model, ain't ya?
It might look like I'm listening, but I'm also crying.
I don't even know if you know karate. Anyway. Sean Connery. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. I'm a big fan. And yes, every other Bond is a pussy. Anyway, so Sean Connery, sorry, the man in the porno, goes around slinging dick, getting fucked off his face.
That's hot.
Yeah. And his best friend, Jason Statham's there.
Yeah, love it.
And just slinging lots of pussy.
Well, I might be famous for listening, but I don't need to hear any more.
You're going to sign off on this?
Oh, that's a real shame. George Lazenby does not look into this at all. He's leaving. He's gone. Oh, George Lazenby left.
I left.
Oh, no, Sean Connery's left as well.
Oh, no, what? Everyone left so fast?
I feel like I'm going to get out of here as well, lads. Catch
Jason
you later.
Statham got to choose when he left. I feel like everyone was just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
It is a tiny room for six people.
It's really so hot in here now. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Fuck me.
It was getting really hot in here for a while.
It's crazy. It's not every day that you get three muscle-bound men from different eras.
Wow.
You know, jostling for position on the mics.
Talking turkey, tits, and teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Teeth.
Yeah. It's a T word.
Okay. Hey, Ben, can I ask you a question?
Go.
This movie we just watched, 90 minutes in length.
Yeah.
Did you have a part that you particularly enjoyed? What might be known as a shining light of the movie?
I did. I liked the scene where the nymphs massage Emmanuel, who is not a great actor,
no,
but has this one moment of realness that came through where the nymphs are asking her, you know, what do you want? And she just sort of lying face down on the massage table just goes, I just want to be happy. And it was really like...
That struck something in you.
I was like, fuck yeah, shit yeah.
It was like a cry for help from the actor.
Why is that? What do you want out of life?
Me, Ben McGugan?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm as I say, I just want to be happy. I'm a horny pervert, so I want maybe, you know, six or seven cat girls. I want to live like Hugh Hefner, but like morally okay Hugh Hefner. Six or seven girlfriends at once, just sucking and fucking.
Nice one, brother.
And in many ways, you share that in common with
Emmanuel.
Yeah.
And I was Emmanuel in that moment when she said, I just want to be.
You are a deeply empathetic pervert.
Thank you.
Did you have a shining light for this film, Guy Montgomery?
Look, it's got to be the guy fucking out the sunroof.
Yeah, fair enough. It was an incredible shot too, because like the forest is in the background.
Yeah.
We pulled over to the side of the road by the woods.
It's either, there's actually a few. It's that, it's the woman and the snake, it's the... there was a shot which we didn't see enough of it, but it was very it was sort of interesting to me. I quite liked it, where they sort of were pulling focus, and you got to see like quite a detailed close up of the short leg hairs that men have on their like mid thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
You're fascinated biologically.
Well, just like, I've got those hairs.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I thought I got those hairs. You know,
neat.
It's nice to see them
in the same way that Ben McGugan identifies with the movie because he's a known pervert.
I identify with
you have leg hairs,
those sort of those weird short leg hairs in the middle of your thigh.
I get that. I get it.
What about you, fuckface? Oh, sorry.
There's a couple that could make the top. One was there's inextricably. It never gets. Explained
inexplicably.
I don't know why this happens, and it's one of those things that they put it in. It's like the horse last time they put it in, and you expect for some point in the future there to be a resolution on why it's shown, but there isn't. There's a super soaker that gets used as a metaphor of a dick for like some fellatio
You've
shots.
You've heard of a super spreader before. Have you heard of a super soaker?
Yeah, I have. It's a water pistol. Oh. Yeah, which is what's in the movie and what I just described.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So there's actually what a really cool, like...
Because if you're describing it, obviously you must know what it
is. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's a really cool close-up
right away.
You actually brought the idea to the conversation.
Face, and it's shot, like, you can't see her eyes. It's sort of her nose. I feel like Guy had tuned out for this bit, but Ben, you saw it.
Yeah, no, it rocked.
And she had bright lipstick
on. You turn around and see the woman suck off the water pistol.
Perfectly, like, laid out, like, red lipstick. And then she's got her mouth wrapped around this water pistol. And it looked like it reminded me of an album cover for the White Stripes, I think. Is there one where, like, there's a naked woman's butt and, like, a guy with a white glove who's about to slap her? White Stripes album cover?
The Strokes. Maybe it's the first Strokes album cover is this it, I think. Or Soma. Do they have an album called Soma?
They have a song called Soma.
I know the After album Brave cover New you're thinking World. Of.
Anyway, it sort of, I don't know, it was just a cool shot. And I thought it'd make a cool album cover. And, second place, maybe first place actually, I'm going to put the Super Soaker album cover shot as second place. Mm. First place, Shining Light, Nicholas getting socked in the mouth and laid out cold by a terrible left-handed hook from our author.
The worst arm punch you've ever seen in your life.
But undeterred from his self-serving monologue and smugness, and just kept laughing at the dude, even though he got laid out cold on the ground. I thought that was fucking cool.
He was having a great time.
He was. You can't stop a man who's okay with getting punched in the face and still considers himself to be the coolest dude in the room.
It's a tough thing to come up against.
It rocks. It's like that thing of, you know, what's that?
Is that the album cover?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. What is it?
Oh, it's the Strokes.
Yeah, cool. Say it out loud, mate. We're on a podcast.
I just thought I'd show you privately.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I didn't know what I was looking at.
I didn't want anyone else to know about that moment.
It was a secret.
That was meant to be an intimate moment between friends.
Well, now it's shared for everybody.
Now you all know I looked up the photo on my phone.
So anyway, that's my shining light. How fucking cool would it be to get punched and just be able to...
I don't know, Tim, why don't we find out?
And then just keep shit-talking and being like, I'm the man, I'm unstoppable.
It is,
that
I mean,
concept that you teach kids of you can only, you know, someone can only affect your self-esteem if you let them. It's kind of that taken to psychopathic new levels.
Yeah, someone can only affect your body and your face if you let them.
Yeah. You'll be laid out on the ground, but, like, you could do it with a smile.
I feel like one of the scariest moments you could face would be if you're, like, in a situation where you're about to fight and you punch someone and you knock them down and they just keep smiling at you. Mm. You're like, okay, I'm in trouble here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If you put everything into that punch, which it looks like the author did, despite the fact that it was a terrible punch.
He's a writer, not a fighter. He's a writer, not a fighter.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
He looked pretty jacked. I bet he could do a better punch than that.
Yeah,
I reckon it was a safety issue to not punch the guy.
I think they were trying to do it so it was like nice and obvious for the camera. Had a big sweep on it.
Yeah, they used their stage fighting budget on sex.
Sex fighting.
Sex fighting. No, what's it called? Stage sex.
Blocking?
Yeah, sex blocking.
Sex blocking.
Cock blocking.
It is cock blocking, by the way.
Cock blocking.
Balls akimbo. Cocks are blocked.
I think I'm going to wrap this episode up right about here.
Yeah, it's been a great episode of Turkey, Tits and Teeth.
That's my favourite podcast.
A real pleasure having Ben McGugan on. It's been a long time coming.
Oh, he's brought it down in the home stretch. And I've just come in my pants and done a big shit.
Fantastic. Thereby solidifying your position as the most perverted guest to ever have graced
Ben,
the podcast.
You post videos on the internet, hey?
Yes.
I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
They're funny videos.
Well, thank you very
much. If someone wanted to find one?
They are at Ben McGugan, MacGougan, pretty much everywhere.
Ben is...
we cannot get rid of these things.
Get rid of these things. Keep cropping up.
Can I be real? Can I be real with you for a second?
Go, permission granted.
Ben McGugan is one of Guy and I's favourite comedians. I was going to say magician, and I don't know why.
It's because I've been very perverted this episode, giving off big magician energy.
Dude, magicians are most of our listeners.
No, sorry.
The point is, Ben Rules, look him up, follow him now. And then when he's got a million followers, you can be like, I got in.
Yeah.
Not at the ground floor, but I got in early.
And, you know, you'll be able to hit him up when your supplements and vitamins don't work properly. You'll be like, Ben, you swore on your podcast.
This is the fucking thing. If you get in now and then you get a few people under you to start buying and selling to their family, you're going to make out like a goddamn
This is the time to get in.
Hi, I'm Ben McGugan. Time to buy us now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.